So I'm sitting on a sofa in the cottage on Vijayaloka. Vijayaloka's retreat centre near Sydney. Parami here, by the way. And I'm sitting with my very good friend, Maitripala. So we've been on, this is the last full day of the Order Convention here in the New Zealand and Australia, possibly known as Oceania area. And just thought I'd take the chance to grab Maitripala and just have a little chat with her for 10 minutes or so. So Maitripala, just tell us who you are.
Well, I am Maitripala, definitely, from Australia. I lived in Emerald for many years and now I'm living, well, in between places.
Yeah, we'll come back to that because I know you've got quite an exciting year ahead next year and I went to ask you about that. But so you've recently returned from a year or more of living overseas in the UK.
Yep. Yeah, so I was away for about 15 months, first time to the UK. So I've been ordained for 15 or 16 years now and so finally got there. That was fantastic. I've been bringing up a family, so could never quite make the trip, but I got there and it was one of the richest years of my life. So I've been at Te Ratnaloka on the team there for a year and got to add Astana a lot as well.
So it was
fantastic.
Yeah, well, it was lovely to see you there because, of course, I've met you down here, as it were. Well, I'm not saying down under because it's such a Brito-centric or Euro-centric way of thinking about it. But I met you here in Australia. Met you first in New Zealand, actually, I think, in a retreat.
That's right.
Yeah, years ago, about seven, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. 8 years ago. So it's been lovely. It was fantastic for me to see you in the UK because we got to see a bit more of each other when you came to Addie's.
I know, we were nearly neighbours, weren't we?
That's right. Well, in Australian terms, we were just round the corner.
That's right. That's
it was a mere hour and a bit's drive away. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know people here travel those distances very easily. Anyway, so you, we've been both been here at Vijayaloka for a whole run of events, one after the other. So just tell us about them.
So our first event was the GFR retreat. And I'm not sure how many days. I think it was about 12 days. So we have one of those at the moment. We've been running one of those every 2 years for both New Zealand and Australian mitras. And they've really liked that sort of crossover, coming together in big numbers.
That's women, 40,
women mitras. Yeah. So about 45 of us, I think, with the team were here. So we were doing What is the Order, a theme I'd done at Te Ratnaloka a couple of times. So it was great doing it in this setting. And then we moved on to a preceptor's retreat.
We had a post-retreat.
A post-retreat first.
For a couple of days with the team. And then to a preceptor's retreat,
And I'm a relatively new preceptor. I've ordained one person. And I'm just loving the fact that we can get together in numbers now here. I experienced that at Astana with lots of preceptors, and that was fantastic. But it feels really special to be doing it on my home turf. The fact that there are more private preceptors now is fantastic for our area.
Yeah, it's great. And again, a women's preceptor's retreat. And I can't remember how many of us there were, but it was lovely being with. I've known some of those women for quite a while, and just seeing them stepping into taking that responsibility and that. Well, it's a lovely responsibility to help somebody else come into our order. So, yeah, I enjoyed the preceptors retreat. That was great. So going back to the women's going for refuge retreat. I did a little interview at the end of it with Cynthia from Melbourne and Kate from Thames in New Zealand. And it's hard to think back. It seems like a long time ago. But they were saying that they'd loved, they were talking about some of their highlights and what they enjoyed about it. So can you remember that far back as to any little highlights for you?
Well, I can, and I mean, I suppose I'll start with an email I got this morning, actually, from a Melbourne mitra who was on the retreat, where she actually, like Kate and Cynthia, talked about what the highlights were for her, and I suppose some of them crossed over. So with me watching this thing happen, which was, it was one of our younger mitras, And she had been so excited to come on the retreat and meet up with a couple of other younger mitras. Oh, okay. And they'd decided they were going to go off and run meditation at the Confest in April already. And
great.
Just, you know, this sense of, there are other people out there like me. So watching that happen with some of our younger mitras from Melbourne was a delight.
What's a Confest?
I haven't been.
Our listeners in the north.
It's probably a bit like a Buddha feel, but it's not Buddhist.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a sort of music festival.
Yeah,
isn't
music
it?
and all sorts of things happening there.
Great.
So they're thinking of running. You know, so Sydney and Melbourne mitras coming together, just quite spontaneously out of friendship. They were sharing a room together. So that sort of crossover is just really exciting.
That's delightful,
So watching that. And that mitra that wrote to me also talked about one of the highlights for her was watching one of the old the movies of the old days of the Order. And that has really inspired her. So I'll have to talk to her in more detail about that, but something has really switched on for her, I think, in terms of, we can be quite radical and we can just sort of run with things we might feel inspired to do.
Fantastic. Yeah, we watched one of Surya Prabha's old, the videos that he made about the early days of the movement. Mm. Yeah, was quite fun watching them all tripping about, long hair and very hippie. Yeah. Our hippie roots.
Yeah, well, it set off a seed in one of those people.
Great. So, one of my highlights, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you will remember this, but one of my highlights was listening to the five mitras who gave talks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah, yeah, that was so inspiring, so uplifting, really. So they were only talking for about 8 minutes each, but what they conveyed in that time just had a really strong effect on the other mitras and on the team, actually.
Yeah.
I think a few of us were in tears.
yeah, they were great.
Just with this sense of actually the future of the order, it just really was strong when you ask these mitras, you know, why do you want to join the order? It was very moving.
Yeah, and quite a variety of, very, very different, the five talks. You know, one or two of them incredibly poetic.
Yes.
Some of them, like almost like listening to somebody reading a poem.
Yeah, yes.
And some of them much more kind of logical and lots of references to the Pali Canon.
Rousing.
Yeah, very rousing. Yeah, that's right. You know, let's get on and do it.
Serve the Dharma,
yeah, that's right. No, it was great. That was one of my highlights. Okay, so I want to move on to what you're doing next year, Majapala, because it's quite exciting. So, and I'm hoping that you're going to be keeping us informed as you go along next year.
I will. I'll sort of launch the idea in about January or February, and I hope to get something out to the order via Shabda or BuddhaCentre.com.
So can you tell us anyway? Can you give us a preview of what you're up to?
Well, it's got a title, which came a bit spontaneously. It's called Buddha's in My Pocket Pilgrimage. but I'm not leaving the country to do this pilgrimage. It's going to be completely done in Australia. And it came about because I'd found my time over in the UK so rich in terms of being able to live a seamless Dharma life. So, you know, teaching and sharing Dharma 24/7, living in a team-based livelihood. These are things I've not experienced. I'm 60 next year and I just saw the richness from that life lived fully. So I had to think of a way of doing that back here. There are very few supported positions for full-time Dharma work here. So this is a way of doing it. Well, basically I'm just going to leave work anyway. I'm a teacher, so I'm going to leave work. And I wrote to all of the little groups and centres in Australia, which there's about 8 or 9 of them. Some of them might be only one order member leading one class somewhere in a small town. But I wrote to all of them and asked if they'd like me to come and help, basically. Mm. So that's the premise of the pilgrimage, just to offer myself up to the Dharma in Australia. And what I was asking for in return was food. I needed to eat and have a bed. So I got these immediate responses, and I think I'm booked till April 2017.
Wow. And when will you start?
At the end of March 2016.
Great, so a year.
When I turned 60, yeah.
A bit over about a 13-month period.
Yeah. That's right. And I'll probably be doing some fundraising just to get enough for basic living costs like travel and my phone and those sorts of things. But it is a bit of sort of mythical going forth for me as well.
So why is it called Buddhas in My Pocket?
Well, that's Adistana's fault. I was on a preceptor's retreat when this whole idea came to me. And over a 48-hour period, this sort of pilgrimage painted itself in my meditation, really. I just had these strong senses of what it would look like without thinking about it. It just appeared, and the name appeared. And I think it's connected to the street level part of the pilgrimage, which is when I'm travelling about to these various places over the year. I realised I'll probably meet people and talk to people, you know, on the train, on the bus, waiting for whatever you're waiting for when you're travelling. And I've also decided to wear my kesa for a year, so to put it on my 60th birthday and have it on until my 61st birthday. And that's a bit frightening, and that came up in meditation as well. So it'll be interesting to see what I learn about myself and my practice to do that.
So that means you'll be sitting on the train going from Melbourne to Adelaide or something, and the person across from you is going to be looking at you and wondering what this white thing
and what those three
around your neck is to do with
are,
and what these three jewels sitting on a lotus are to do with.
So I thought if I was explaining the three jewels to them on a train, when I got to the Buddha, I just thought, you know, if it was someone who didn't know anything about Buddhism, I'd probably talk to them about this jewel representing, you know, the sort of infinite potential of all beings. And in a meditation, this image of these little Buddhas in my pocket came up, and I realised I would carry some. And not only that, I would ask for the order and mitras across the world to maybe think about sending me one, a very, very tiny one, smaller than at Adistana, a couple of centimetres high.
Well, the winds at Adistana were supposed to be quite small anyway, but that's another story.
That's what I've heard. So I've got normal-sized pockets and I'll always carry a handful around.
Okay.
And the idea is that if it was appropriate, I might offer the person a small Buddha as a sort of, you know, basically remembering that we all have vast potential, and this will be in a little small form.
Beautiful. That's really lovely, yeah. So there's quite a few elements to this pilgrimage then. There's the fact you're going to wear your kesa, and in a way that makes you a very out Buddhist. It makes you
visible.
Quite visible, And I sometimes think it's interesting that we don't wear our kesa generally other than in shrine room activities or festivals or given talks or something like that. So I'd be really interested to hear how that goes. Because, I mean, men, if, you know, Tibetan nuns, monks, whatever, often even travelling would be wearing their robes or Theravadan practitioners, monastic practitioners would often be wearing their robes. So I'd be really interested to hear whether anybody asks you anything or why they just kind of, you know, it's just another bit of something weird that people
do.
Exactly.
And I mean, even on a personal level, I've been thinking about when I go to, you know, I've got a large family and I thought, oh, does that mean, that means I'll be wearing it just to visit my mum and dad or, you know, basically, you know, going to have lunch with an order member any time. Yeah. And it's been interesting starting to see my resistances already and think about, oh, when would I not want that to show and why?
Yeah.
So I think I'll learn a lot from it personally, actually, as well as it potentially being a link for someone to ask about the Dharma, which just feels fantastic.
Well, I think what comes to mind is the idea of being a fourth sight for people, you know, that when we think about the Buddha's journey where he saw the old person, sick person, a dead, a cadaver, and then he had the awakening experience of seeing the fourth sight of a wandering mendicant. So who knows, Majpala, you might be sitting on a wee country bus somewhere and you're exactly the fourth sight that somebody needs.
Yeah, well, I do believe we all can be that in the order, and we are often because of how we're transforming ourselves. But this is just another...
Yeah.
You know, slightly different take on it, I suppose. It was partly a deep thing that came up for me when I was leaving Te Ratnaloka. There were two things. I wanted to be visible with Dharma in the world, and I wanted to live a seamless life of Dharma. Mm. So that it's part of living out that commitment.
Mm. Well, that's fantastic, and I wish you all the best on that, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about it. And it's the kind of thing I think would make a great little series of podcasts as you're travelling.
I'll learn from this one. And I am going to do a blog, and I am even going to go into the Facebook world. For the sake of the Dharma, I'll set up a page.
Great. But these little audio booms, which we can put onto the Buddhist Centre online, I think it just allows other people in the Sangha as well to kind of just keep track of you and how you're doing. And well, I hope maybe somebody that listens to this at some point will just think, I could send a wee Buddha to Maitrepala.
Yeah.
So they can do that.
Well, I'll send all that information out. It'll be by email. They might be able to find an order member that can look up my email address. And then I can give my posting address out.
Yeah.
But I will try, and Vidyatara is going to help me make this more visible in the Tree Ratna world.
You'll be all right then.
and it's a bit like Indra's net. If they send me a Buddha and I hand it on to someone, to me it's also a link. It's a bit like living Indra's net in a particular way. And for the rest of Tree Ratna to learn about Australia and what we're doing out here.
Great. Yeah. Am I right that somebody's already given you a wee Buddha?
Well, you won't believe this, but I've got 24 little Buddhas that have turned up by word of mouth. They're sitting on my shelf at home. And, beautiful, you know, from Ireland, England, a lot from England because I was leaving there, obviously, but... even my daughter, when I arrived home, had three waiting for me, you know, so non-Buddhists are giving me Buddhas.
It's capturing people's imagination.
Yeah, and the fact that it's going to go to someone sort of on their behalf, I'm hoping sometimes to photograph the Buddha in the person's hand that I give it to and blog that. So they may even see the reality of Indra's net actually in real time, hopefully.
Mm. Well, gosh, that sounds fantastic. And... That's great, isn't it? 24 Buddhas already. Yeah, I mean, a couple of people from Mitras that I know in the UK have mentioned it to me, because probably you'd mentioned it on a retreat they were on, or somebody's told them.
Well, I think sometimes I've told individuals, but it seems that the word's travelling, so maybe something about it has captured imagination in terms of people being involved in something that's even a distance away.
Yeah, great. Mm. Well, maybe even particularly a distance away. I mean, I love the idea that I'm sitting in Adistana and at some point Maitrepala's given a wee Buddha that I gave her, handing it on to some old man on a train or some teenager that you bump into on the road somewhere.
And I'm also going to have little cards for each of the Buddhist groups that I'm travelling to.
Uh-huh.
So if someone asks how would I learn meditation, I see myself as a link to those groups as
you
well.
You can point them in that direction. Yeah, great. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I really, really do wish you well, and I look forward to hearing about the Buddhas in my pocket pilgrimage sometime in a not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.